Blog Talk Radio.
It is Wednesday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Dog Pound with two-time IBF Junior Middleweight Champion, Mr. Cornelius Bundridge. Got a great show in store for everybody tonight. We're going to be talking to Miss Christy Martin. She's giving a show on November 7th, the same day as the champ is getting back in the ring. So we're going to talk to her and a couple of, fighter as well as manager and promoter. We're going to talk to them. And then K-9 is going to have a special guest in for us tonight. And we're going to talk about some of the things that are happening. We're starting to open things up. Las Vegas is starting to have 250 people. Other states are starting opening up, having people the events. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and what people think about as far as is it time to open up for events? Do you feel comfortable going into a venue at this particular time? So there's still a lot of questions, a lot of people getting sick, and we need to know what we're going to do as far as our sporting events. America lives on its sports, and to be truthful, sometimes we need our sports to bring up our spirits, to kind of lift us up, to give us something, someone to cheer for. Has a lot to do with morale, has a lot to do with just the infectious spirit of the country. When you think about baseball, football, all the different sports, boxing, these are outlets for some of the pin-up emotions that a lot of us have. Just waiting for the champ to get here. Champ, hit me up. I think this might be the champ here. What's going on, champ? Well, I guess we're still waiting for the champ to get here. Thought I saw him down here in the queue. But let's jump on here with Miss Martin while we're waiting for the champ. Must be one of those nights. Things seem to be moving a little slow. See, okay. Let's see if we
Available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Wonder what's going on here. Let's see if we can get let's try her again, and let's see if we can possibly get the champ in here, too. Okay, let's see here. Good evening, Ms. Martin. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. just waiting for the chat to get here. And in the meantime, I was looking up some of the things for your event that's happening November 7th. It also happens that the champ, Cornelius, is also fighting on that day. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your event?
November 7th, we are in Rock Hill, South Carolina. We'll be live on TYC Argentinian TV. It's going to be a great night. We have Alberto Palmetto is going to be the main event. Lucas Leon, Kelvin King, some local guys, Kyle Harrell, and actually we have a little kid, Vit Y is his name, from Rock Hill, South Carolina. So we're looking forward to his Christy Martin Promotions debut as well.
Now, we know that some of these venues, you know, like Top Rank and some of them in Vegas are having live audiences. I think Vegas is allowing up to 250 people. Are you having a live audience for this event?
Yes, we will be. We're actually going to be able to have up to 1,000 people. It's like a basketball type gym auditorium, and we'll be able to have 1,000 people with some social distancing, as well as we will have masks for everyone and be taking temperatures as people come in.
Now, was there any, you know, you mentioned a mask for everyone. Mandatory in the state or just mandatory for that event?
You know, honestly, I don't know what the state requirement is. That's just what we as a promotion team have decided that we will do.
And as far as special preparations for fighters, what did you have to do this time that was probably much different from what you had to do in the past?
Yeah, well, actually, we went through this in Florida, so we kind of got our barriers and bearings set. We'll be social, you know, like with the fighters, we won't have all the fighters in the same dressing room. We'll have just a couple teams in each dressing room. Again, we'll even have masks back there until they make their ring walk. It's going to be the same thing. It's really just social distancing, masks, and there's no extra test as far as testing for COVID. That's all going to be on each individual fighter to do before the fight if they choose to. It's not required by the state of South Carolina.
And what about the officials as far as the judging and whatnot? Are they still going to be ringside, or are they going to be 6 feet removed from the ring? As far as bodily fluids, I mean, you have to take any special measures for the judges.
The judges and referees, everything is the same. Of course, they will all have on masks, but they will actually still be sitting ringside in the, what we'll say is the normal or usual space.
And this is your first event since the COVID?
This will be the second time. The first event we did in August in Daytona Beach, Florida, at the Ocean Center, and it was very successful. Of course, this Ocean Center seats about 9,000 people. We were allowed by the Ocean Center to sell 500 tickets, and we were just under that with around 400-405, which was the first time that people in that area had a live sporting event to attend.
I'm going to get Mr. Payne and a couple of your fighters on here in a minute, but I wanted to talk a little bit about women's boxing just for a moment. I had Melissa Smith on the show the other day, and we were talking about, of course, women's boxing and how it seems every event, most events anyway, for women sparring and training and whatnot, are 3-minute rounds. I'm kind of perplexed about the reason why we haven't went to 3-minute rounds in women's fighting. I've heard it has a lot to do with, I believe it's the WBC, but do you see in the future women's having 3-minute rounds? And what about the equality in payment?
Well, you know, as far as the time of the rounds, actually, I turned professional in 1989. And when I turned professional, I was fighting 3-minute rounds. But as I went on throughout my career, somewhere along the line, it was reduced to the 2 minutes. And the truth is, I feel like the 2-minute round is really a blessing to women's boxing. Because of the 2 minutes, you should be able to go out there and it be nothing but action from bell to bell. Take advantage of it just being 2 minutes. Be action-packed. And someone once said to me, yeah, but that's not enough time to knock people out. Are you kidding me? I knocked out 31 people, so I don't know why it's not enough time. It seemed like it was plenty of time for me. I don't see it as an issue. I think, hey, take advantage of the 2-minute rounds. Be a lot of action. Be exciting. That's what the fans want to see. They want to see action and excitement. Give it to them. As far as equal pay comes along when you put butts in the seats. If you put enough butts in the seats, you're going to get paid for putting those butts in the seats. That's what it's all about. If you can sell tickets, you're going to get paid. Right now, doing the promotions, if I have a fighter, male or female, that's going to sell a house out, that's who's going to make the money. It doesn't matter what their gender is. It's about who's going to bring the audience. I'm not going to pay somebody just because they're a female X amount of dollars. No, you have to be the person that's generating the interest.
That's very interesting. What do you think about the mainstream now putting more women on fights? You have Bob Arum, he's signing fighters, women's fighters, Eddie Hearns. Do you think in a way that this pandemic has actually helped put women in the forefront, because now we see women on more cards than we have at any other time?
You're right. It's kind of strange. Other than some of those promoters will use a woman fighter because they will pay her less than a male fighter. And that's where we have the problem. If you're going to put a woman on as the main event, then she does need to be compensated as the main event. Again, why would you not put somebody on that's going to be the person that the people are paying to see, they're coming to see, that's going to fill the seats, that it's going to bring the excitement. I think it's great that women are getting opportunities. Again, it's still very limited. You know, you have a handful of female fighters that are getting opportunities by Eddie Hearn. And it's funny because Bob Arum was so much against women's boxing, but now I see he has started to promote a couple girls. Again, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully these women can run with it this time. You know, we had a lot of exposure in the 90s, and then it kind of died out. So maybe this time around, the women will be able to sustain the excitement and enthusiasm about women's boxing.
Yeah. Las Vegas is opening back up. As I was saying, Bob Arum has decided that he's going to give his 250 tickets to first responders. What do you see as probably, I guess, we still haven't seen boxing open up in New York yet and some other places. Out here in California, of course, we're boxing. What do you see as let's put it like this. When do you think that we're going to see boxing back in New York again?
Back in New York, I think it's going to be at the earliest, the middle of next year. You know, we're already having cases of COVID spike again in New York, so it's no time soon are we going to see boxing back in New York. And I don't think we're going to see full house for fans any place really until hopefully sooner than later. But I think middle of next year, you know, we'll be able to see fans. You know, I mean, not in such a limited quantity.
Yeah, I seem to have a little trouble getting in touch with Mr. Payne here, but. Okay. So, trying to think things back to these medicals once again, because do you think that we're going to have Olympic boxing next year?
You know, I certainly hope so. That's where professional boxing, in my opinion, has really lost a step or two, because, you know, even though it was just every 4 years, we always got behind those Olympic boxers and those guys. You know, everybody seemed to have that story that just gripped the entire country, and you know, maybe not the entire team, but a couple of those guys each time would steal everybody's heart, and you know, just wanted to watch them as they became a professional and cheer them on to become champions. So hopefully that boxing will return, and it will also return to being one of the sports that the networks really cover. And I'm not talking about at 2 or 3 a.m. I mean, in the middle of the day when people are home to actually watch.
Let me see. I think we have Mr. Payne on now. Gardner, are you there?
Hey, how are you?
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
We're talking with Christy just before you came on. How does you two actually form this particular promotion company or this particular partnership?
Well, you know, Chris, when I first started getting into managing boxers, I was new to the boxing game. I didn't really know much about it. I was really trying to find my way. An old business partner of mine had asked me to invest in one of his promotional deals, and I had done that, and I realized that maybe the promotion side wasn't for me, but I did enjoy managing boxers and getting to know the boxers on a personal level and, you know, sort of helping them find their way, and I thought that maybe fit better with my skill set. But, you know, I was still new and didn't know what I was doing, but of course, I knew who Christy Martin was, and everybody in boxing knows Christy Martin. She's the greatest female boxer of all time, and everyone knows who she is. And she's a big presence in North Carolina and in the rest of the world. So when I got to meet Christy, I just hung on every word I could and tried to be as close to her as possible to help learn from her. And she was nice enough to sort of take me under her arm and wing and sort of hold my hand and guide me through this, it's hard to describe, I don't know what the right word is to describe the boxing industry, but it's a tough industry. So she's taught me a lot. I've always tried to stay close with her. And I think over that, just a mutual respect for one another formed and a very genuine friendship. So, and it's a real pleasure and honor for me to be her, to be a partner with her and all the things she's doing. And because she's really helped me come along a long way.
You know, I appreciate that, Gardner. And the thing is with Gardner, Gardner's the one that's bringing to this show November 7th in Rock Hill, South Carolina. It's the Payne Boxing Series that's going to be featured on TYC, Argentinian TV. Gardner, that's Gardner's event. Gardner's really put that together on one of his fighters really back, and that's Alberto Palmetto, who Alberto just on our show down in Daytona Beach in August won the WBA national title. So he's actually now he's ranked number 9 in the world as a WBA welterweight. Gardner has his fighters in position to really take that big next step into title contention. He has a great stable of fighters, several guys from Argentina, Dominican. We're going to also see another one of his guys on the undercard, Lucas Leon. He's a little guy, 112-pounder, that I'm excited to see because I know he's bringing a lot of power and he'll bring a lot of excitement. Kelvin King is also one of Gardner's guys. Kelvin's from Wilson, North Carolina, so it's a little bit of a homecoming for him. He's 6-0 and one draw. But this guy is young and raw and a lot of power, so he's exciting. You know, Gardner has a great list of up-and-coming fighters, but Alberto Palmetta is special, and anybody in that Rock Hill area needs to get their ticket and get out there to check Alberto out, because this is a guy that's going to be, if not a world champion, which I think he will, he's going to be knocking on the door very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. He trains hard too. I mean, he's one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. I mean, he takes everything seriously, not only his training and the time in the ring, but his diet, nutrition is on point, not just the 4 to 6 weeks before a fight, but every day throughout the year. He takes it very seriously. He makes sure he gets the right amount of sleep. He makes sure he spends time each day stretching. So he watches endless video of his opponents and other people in his weight class. So he takes it very seriously. And like Chrissy said, he'll have an opportunity, I think, to become a world champion and to kick down that door. So we're excited about it. If you're anywhere near Rock Hill, you need to come check out. The whole car is going to be jam-packed, but it's just to be able to watch and see Alberto fight. It'll be a real treat.
Now, do you go to, did you find these gentlemen in the amateurs? Or, I mean, how did you develop relationships with these particular fighters?
Well, for Alberto, I also have a gentleman signed named Marcos Descadero, who's fought a couple of times recently on Showtime. And Marcos was on, Chrissy and I actually saw Marcos fight down in Sarasota, Florida. And I signed Marcos. He had maybe one or two fights. He's fought a lot on Chrissy's shows. But Marcos came to me and said, hey, I have this fellow countryman from Argentina. He's here in the United States. He's looking for a manager. A lot of people were talking to Alberto at the time, and I was one of them. Alberto was a hot commodity because he had just come off the Olympic Games representing Argentina in the Rio Olympics. So a lot of folks wanted to talk to him. So that's how I came about him. Some of the other folks, Lucas Leon from Puerto Rico, who he heard about us, had known some of the other fighters through times of the amateurs, saw some of the moves that Chrissy and I were doing and called me about it. But a lot of it's just been through word of mouth, people seeing what we were doing. And that way, Frenchy Fortunato, who's from the Dominican, we caught wind of him when he was as an amateur fighter. So I've been with him very early on. So he's a real exciting fighter. I think he has an opportunity to do a lot of exciting things in his weight class at 122.
Christy, what was your input? When he came to you with these fighters, did he use your expertise as a former fighter, motor, or what?
With all of Gardner's moves in boxing, I tell him that I'm going to always be honest, and all I can do is tell you my opinion and my thoughts. And that's what I do. Our conversations are always, I think we're friends first, but when it's business, I always tell him that I try to spend his money like it's my money, like it would be my money, and I be very careful of who he invests with and what fighters he gets behind. Right now, I think he has a very, very solid group of fighters. And the difference in most of his guys, they're all happy with where they are. They appreciate, and that's the number one thing. They appreciate the help that he's giving them. And that's what fighters don't understand. It doesn't matter how good you are. If you don't have a good team around you and good help, you're never going to get there. And boxing's like so many other things in this world. It's not always about what you know, but who you know. And we need to understand that and everybody stay in a positive light as much as possible with as many of the powers that be in boxing. And that's where Gardner is. I mean, everybody that meets him is very, very happy to be associated with him. So, you know, I think the sky's the limit for his guys. The Pain Boxing Series, we're excited about it. We're in York County, South Carolina. You know, they're behind us. Rock Hill, the entire sports center. Everybody's excited about having this show in Rock Hill. It's not just one of those one-hitter-quitter shows where you're going to have 14 fights and 12 of them are going to end in the first round. We don't put on that kind of stuff. We put on real fights. This is going to be a treat for the fight fans in the area, and really not just the fight fans, the sports fans. Other people are going to want to come out and check out boxing. Maybe it'll be the first time that they've been able to attend a live boxing match. This is going to be a special night, November 7th at Rock Hill at the Sports and Event Center.
You have a couple of your fighters with you, Kevin King and Lucas Leon.
They'll be with me very shortly. Let me go get them real quick.
Okay. Thinking back upon some of the exciting action that we've had this last month. It seems like things are going to really open up here in November. Are you looking forward to perhaps putting on more boxing shows this fall?
Oh, of course. We're always looking to expand, to get into more cities, to get more fighters behind us. And, boxing is what I love and what I want to continue to do. And we don't want to stay at this level of just, we're not really club shows, but we'll say a step or two above. We want to get to that championship level, and we will. It's just like the same as with my boxing career. You know, you started out as a four-round fighter, you graduate to 6, 8, 10, and championship level. And that's what I feel like as a promoter. I'm moving up the scale, and the sky is the limit. You know, it's just the pandemic didn't help this year. We had a great – in February of this year, we had Evan Holyfield on the show down in Daytona. It was a great show, a lot of momentum moving forward. And then by April, May, you know, everything was shut down. So we lost that great momentum that we had moving forward. But it's just, as they say, everything happens for a reason. We had to step back a step, but we're just going to step back and regroup and hit it hard with 2021 rolls around. We'll be ready to go. But as you said, we have some great fights coming up. I mean, Tank Davis is going to be getting out there soon. We have Errol Spence and Danny Garcia. I'm excited about that. Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko. Are you kidding me? We have some great fights coming up. So I am very much looking forward to the next couple months of boxing.
Sorry, Kevin is supposed to be with us at 9:30. So I said he'd be here any second. I apologize.
That's fine. Who do we have?
Yeah, I think we got mixed up on the time, and I had given Gardner the. I told him at 9:30 East Coast time, and we were off. I was off on the time I gave him.
Well, I was off. I was expecting K-9, and K-9 had a little difficulty, so I called it a little bit early. That was my fault, actually. As I said, K-9 is also fighting in Florida on November 7th, so it seems like we have a lot of venues that are opening up. We're going to... be blessed out here in California. More venues are opening up out here. Christy, do you have anything slated for Texas? I see it's also opening up some of its venues starting next month also.
Actually, I just got a call from Termite Watkins today, and I hope, you know, I'm sure the older boxing fans will recognize that name. And we talked a little bit about 2021 and possibly Houston. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how all that progresses if I'm going to live out here in Texas, then I need to make some fights out here. So I'll be talking to Gardner about that this week, and we'll see how that all moves forward. Hopefully we can find a home or two out here as well.
Garner, what's your hopefully, you know, what are you looking forward to in 2021? I know some of our venues are opening up out here in California in 2021. Of course, we've already had some fights out here in LA and some other venues. Aspiration.
I'm hoping for, in some respects, I'm hoping for a much calmer 2021, but certainly from our professional standpoint, I'm hoping we're looking for a very wide open 2021. You know, I think Chrissy and I will just talk and find out where opportunities are, wherever they are around the country. And one of the good things with the Pain Boxing Series is we're married to any one location. We've had And we'll be doing some things outside of the Pain Boxing Series too with on Chrissy Martin Promotions. We've had some good shows in Florida, and you know, Daytona's been wonderful to Chrissy and to Pain Boxing, and now the folks in South Carolina have rolled out the red carpet to Chrissy and myself. But like Chrissy said, we'll be talking this week about Texas and some other places. So it'd be exciting to me just to get out and be across the country, and you know, I'm especially excited in 2021 in June, because Chrissy is going to be inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame, the first female boxer. So that's going to be exciting. So who knows, maybe Chrissy can put on a show around that big event.
Thanks, Gardner. Yeah. That would be awesome. That definitely would be awesome. Every year at the Hall of Fame, they always have, usually it's a Showtime show Showbox show. So That would be great. You know, we put Alberto Palmetta as the headline for a championship fight in June. I think that sounds like a plan right there. I need to start sowing that seed.
That'd be good.
In 2021, I would like to also do something in my home state of West Virginia. We have a young little fighter up there, 130-pounder, Anthony Sevilla, this is the second card that he's had to pull off of because he injured his wrist. And I finally just sat him down and told him that, hey, you know what? I don't want you back in the gym. Do conditioning, swimming, whatever it is that you need to do. Don't hit anything until 2021. And when we start in 2021, I'll be ready to roll. So hopefully he listens. And, West Virginia also opens up next year. And we can go up there and do a show in Charleston. That would be exciting for me.
Christy, have you seen? Have you seen some smaller injuries, more smaller injuries, kind of like we've seen in football? You have a lot of players or fighters that don't get the proper stretches, don't get the proper work in, just because of the pandemic. Have you seen, has conditioning seemed to be more of a problem during this pandemic than anything else?
No, I don't think that we've really been back to boxing long enough to tell. I had this conversation many, many times with Gardner. Like, real fighters were training out there during the pandemic. You know, they were out there running. They were doing it might be in the backyard, but they were shadow boxing, had their coach over hitting mitts. So they were staying busy and staying active. So those top fighters, I think, we're not going to see the injury with. But, yes, you're probably right. Some of the guys that are taking 6- and 8-round fights that really aren't ready to take those fights because they haven't put enough time in the gym, we may see some injuries come up. That's probably something we should be very aware of.
But I think also what we've seen during this pandemic is that we've seen more of the lesser known fighters. You have more 8-round fighters that are being exposed to the national audience. Do you think that has actually been one of the good things, another one of the good things that have come out? Because otherwise we wouldn't have seen some of these youngsters.
You know, I think that that has worked. It's been a double-edged sword, really. Some people have gotten some great opportunities that they wouldn't have gotten, but we've also seen a little lesser quality, probably a fighter on some of the ESPN shows and even Showbox, as far as that goes, than we would normally. But it did give some fighters a great opportunity that they would have never gotten without the pandemic. And the bigger fighters, and I mean by bigger fighters, I mean champions, top 10 kind of guys, they wanted so much money that it made it impossible for promoters to make fights that should have been made. But with no ticket sales and, closed down arenas, it's hard to generate a lot of money. And even with sponsors and things like that. So it put a stop on boxing for a minute. But as I said, with these like three fights that I mentioned are just great fights coming up here at the end of the year. I can't wait to see Teofimo and Lomachenko. That's going to be a great one. And then, anytime Tank's in the ring, there's always going to be excitement and big punches going. So good fights. Spencer and Garcia, great fight. I'm excited.
Yeah, like I said, we also have Leo Sanders. He's going to be fighting. We have so many good fights coming up. How hard has this pandemic made it for you to more or less scout fights? Do you depend a lot on fight take now? I'm sure the process has changed somewhat. What adjustments have you had to make as promoters and managers to get new prospects on your team?
Well, one of the biggest challenges has been finding opponents and finding people to fight our guys. A lot of times in the past, you wouldn't want to match a fight if the other fighter hasn't fought in a year, had a year off or whatever. I mean, maybe you've been worried that the commission may not approve it, but now that's just the norm. I mean, it's very difficult to find people that have fought within the last year. And also, as we try to match fight, some of the states were very slow to reopen their gyms. So it's very, the pool of potential fights to match was very difficult. As far as, looking around for new people to sign, it's really not a really possible time to do that right now. I mean, because it's just so you really can't get out to watch anybody, to see anyone. I mean, a lot of amateur shows are canceled. It's very difficult to do that right now.
I think Lisa and I, and of course we're going to Lasso Gardner and bring him as well, we'll all be at the USA Boxing Tournament the first week of December in Louisiana to watch some of the new talent. And that's going to be the first opportunity that promoters are going to have to go see guys in several months. I mean, amateur boxing has really been put on a hold. So those guys that are on the cusp of, are they going to turn pro? Are they going to stay amateur? They've just been in the holding pattern because they really can't turn pro. There's not any pro places for them to fight, and then the amateurs one hold. So I think that will push several of them to go ahead and do this final USA Boxing Tournament, and then again 2021 will be a big year for the emergence of boxing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, K-9 Sun should be at that show also. He's been doing a lot of fighting on the amateur level. Do you find that we're having more of these young guys turn pros simply behind the fact that the possibility that we might not have an Olympic, there's going to be very few amateur shows. Do you think that this has hurt or helped our amateur program? Usually we funnel our boxers in after the Olympics. Yeah, this is kind of an exceptional year. How do you think that this is going to affect our amateur program, especially in the upcoming future?
Well, personally, I don't understand. So many people are pushing at these 17 and 18 year old fighters to turn pro. They're just not developed physically, mentally, emotionally. They're not ready for the pro game, and so I just can't. I don't understand. You know, Bobby Arum, Top Rank, they're signing a lot of these 18 year old kids. Heyman signed a lot. I don't get it. But for whatever reason, I'm sure that's chasing the almighty dollar. But really, these they're kids, and they have to be matched so carefully that they really can't develop the skills they need to really progress. So I think that alone is hurting amateur boxing. Of course, the thought of maybe we're not going to have an Olympic team, and then again, the Olympic team doesn't get the exposure that they used to get. That all hurts. You know, everybody wanted to be like that 76 Olympic team. You know, all these young amateur fighters wanted to be like Sugar Ray Leonard. They wanted to be in the 80s or 90s, like Oscar, like Floyd. There was all these guys they could look up to and say, I want to do that. But amateur boxing at Olympic level isn't getting the same kind of exposure. So it doesn't make that same dream happen. And that's why it would be great if we could get somebody over USA Boxing that really pushed to bring that back, that where these kids would want to stay in the amateur so they could fight for our country.
We get lots of inquiries into our emails, our website, our social media from amateurs who inquire about us representing them. And my advice is similar to what Chrissy said, is that we ought to tell them just to be patient and take their time. And, you know, especially these kids that are just turning 18 and want to turn pro. And, you know, there's no need for them to rush into it. This year, after the pandemic, and maybe they had limited training and limited tournaments, you know, if anything, now is not the time to rush into it. But I think as an amateur, just to take your time, be patient, hone your skills, you know, especially as professional boxers seem to be getting older and older.
Yeah.
Right. There's such a big difference between an 18-year-old man. I mean, really, an 18-year-old, you know, they're still a boy. And then you say a 25-year-old man. There's such a physical difference with strength and everything. That's the physical part, but the mental part as well. So these guys at 18 years old need to be encouraged to stay in the amateurs and not to turn professional so quickly.
Yeah, especially these guys in the States who maybe come to the game late. You know, they're going to be competing against not just boxers in the United States, but from around the world. And a lot of these guys from other countries, they're starting when they're 10 and 9. And, you know, they're coming to the pros with 300, 400 amateur fights under their belt. So, I mean, a lot of the guys here need to realize who actually they're going to be competing against. And so there's no need to rush into it, because a lot of these folks from Argentina, from Mexico, you know, they've been fighting. They've had a lot of experience traveling around the world, fighting in lots of different tournaments from a very, very young age, too.
That's something that we used to kind of, you know, tout, you know, when you had a fighter come in, you know, we had 300-400 amateur fights, you know, and we considered that a good thing. But now when you look back and you see, you know, the punishment these young fighters have taken, you know, like you said, some of them 300-400 fights, a guy like Lomachenko, for instance, do you think that it's a good thing for someone to have that many amateur fights? Do you think that perhaps it's not as much of an advantage as we thought it was before? Think of the physical punishment that these fighters have taken over all of that time.
Well, I don't think the human body was created to be punched on any amount, really. But when these guys have 300-400 amateur fights, sometimes they get into that mindset mentally, and then the body physically gets ready for just three, or now they even fight three-minute rounds sometimes in the amateurs. So they really, that's as far as they develop. They don't they're not able to adjust to the 12 rounds. So I think it does have an adverse effect. But the experience that 100 amateur fights gives to you is something that is needed, really. If you're going to be a solid pro, you need to have that experience. And some of that is just experience, that you've seen every different style. You've seen anything and everything that you could possibly see in the ring. You're going to see it in that 100 amateur fight career, and you're going to be ready for different adjustments that will need to be made in the professional ranks.
Any thoughts on that, Gordon?
What's that? You know, I one thing, I think we see this in all sports right now, basketball, baseball, football. You know, when I was growing up, whatever season it was, we just played that sport. And if it was basketball season, we played basketball, soccer, baseball. And now, you know, at such a young age, 5, 6, 7, 8, kids are being pushed to play one sport year-round. And I think by the time they get older and into their, you know, early 20s, they're by all the wear and tear from all those sports is just is too much for their bodies. And, you know, I think boxing is probably no different than that.
And
when these kids are having that many extra fights.
Right. And the burnout factor. I mean, you're right, Gardner. I mean, especially I'm from a small town, so the same guys that played basketball were the superstars on the basketball team. They were the superstars on the football team and the baseball team. So whatever sport it was in season, that's what they were playing. Boxing is a little different because there's no season. It's a life. It's a lifestyle, boxing. And I think starting so young, and at nine, I think it's 9 years old that you can start to compete in USA Boxing. I think there is. You have to be careful with that potential burnout as a parent or a coach.
Do you think that, you know, before we always talked about pay-per-view and once you got to pay-per-view, it was kind of like, you know, you've got it made. But do you think now that, you know, we've seen less revenue come in the boxing, that streaming might be the new revenue venue for boxing?
Gardner definitely would have to speak on that more than I can. I don't really know that side of it as much. I do know that I heard that last weekend Showtime fight with the two brothers, the Charlo brothers, only sold 60,000 pay-per-view buys. That there's no way that covered their purses. So, in that case, boxing could be hurting a little bit with everything, you know, with the pay-per-view buys.
How many did they sell?
60,000.
Oh wow!
When I fought Layla, we sold 100, and that was two women fighting. There was two brothers that were both world champions, and they only sold 60,000.
Yeah, the one thing, people just don't have the money. I mean, you know, people have other things that now, you know, where are you going to spend $75 for your children or a pay per view fight? And you're starting to have to make hard choices. Garner, what do you think about that? Is streaming the future of boxing? I mean, you look at the Zone, you look at some of these other things. I mean, the Zone and Canelo, they're starting to have their issues. Some of these other, you know, what we thought were going to be major venues, they just don't have that revenue anymore. I mean, you can't pay Canelo $365 million if you don't. So, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree, man. You know, a lot of people thought the Zone was going to be the wave of the future, and now that, you know, they lose Canelo, then now there's speculation that can they make it long term. So, you know, I think all sports right now, viewership seems to be down. I really think part of it is, it's hard to turn on and watch a sport with no fans. And even though people say, hey, we can do it, it's just something about watching a boxing match or a basketball game or a football game and seeing the fans and the excitement and how the athlete gets into it. I mean, I'm wondering if that has something to do with the lower viewership, not just in, in all sports, you know, basketball, NBA, seeing it like all you know, the lowest it's been in about 10 years or something as far as the playoffs go. But and I wonder if there's if that's part of it. But you know, I mean, I think definitely definitely live stream is it's not as expensive to produce. It seems like it has a lot of merit there. I just don't think we know. I think it would just take some time to shake out before we really know.
Yeah, it just seems like we're going to have to get very creative with the way that we're putting on events, and it's also like I said, the health interest. Do you see as many willing to bring their children into the gym as we once did, like you know during the 70s, of course, you know the 90s. It seems to me that in general we have it seems like the parents aren't as involved with putting their children in sports. Like I said, you know, once again, it has a lot to do with the pandemic, you know, things like that. But do you think that we still have that broad base of parents to get the kids into sports that we used to have, or do you see that there's a decline?
Kristen?
I think that's a Gardner question, but I will say this. Gardner has two sons and a daughter, and they're all involved in sports and activities. I think a lot of that just comes down to the parents and are they willing to, you know, it's a sacrifice, I'm sure, to make sure your child is at practice every day, and then you as a parent are there at the games to support them. And for whatever reason, parents, I guess they're busy working and different things and have gotten away from really having their kids in youth sports.
Yeah, you know, it's, sometimes I think we're more into it now. Sometimes I think the parents are living too much through their children in sports and not just letting them play and be young and enjoy it and have fun and just grow into the sport. But I do think sometimes it can get cost prohibitive. I mean, some of these, again, there's a lot of pressure now to put your child in one sport and do it year round. And there's a lot of cost that comes with that as far as traveling to basketball tournaments or soccer tournaments or whatever it may be, baseball tournaments. You know, we've sort of gotten away from just letting kids play the sport for whatever season it is. There seems to be just this huge push now to specialize in one sport. And then there's pressure within that to have individual coaching and special trainers each day of the week. So it's just it's a lot on the parents.
What about sponsorships? Garner, are they as prevalent as they used to be, for the gyms and sports activities for the youth?
You know, I think right now sponsorships due to COVID, sponsorship money has dried up a little bit. I mean, even some of the you read these articles about some of these companies that actually had record-breaking years, like battery companies, restaurants, pizza delivery places who've had record-breaking years are holding on to their sponsorship dollars just because of the uncertainty of COVID. And they're wondering, will there be a second wave? And if so, will people be able to spend as much money as they did before? So a lot of these companies are trying to keep to be as liquid as possible and keep as much cash on hand as possible due to their shareholders and employees and that sort of thing. So I think right now a lot of the sponsorship money is not as prevalent as it was pre-COVID. Now hopefully that's going to, as we move down the road and get a vaccine and get back to normal, some level of normalcy, that money will open back up. But I do think right now a lot of that money is dried up, and there's a lot of folks competing for the same dollars for those companies that are spending the money. So it's a real challenge out there. And a lot of the money is then at the local level for the local gyms, for the amateur boxing, for amateur sports in general. You know, we've seen that as well, where, again, just a lot of companies are just holding on to those dollars right now because of the uncertainty of what's going to happen in the future.
Christy, you find the same thing?
For sure. I mean, it's a tough sell. Boxing is a tough sell anyway. And then any excuse that people have to really not let go of those dollars, they're going to use it. But right now, people and places that were always like a shoe-in, and you could always count on certain, and sometimes it might be a small place, but you could always count on them to help sponsor a local boxing event. They're not even getting on board. So it's a tough sell right now. You know, I think we're all just going to hold on a little tight through this November 7th show in Rock Hill. And hope for a better 2021.
Yes, I hope so. Well, maybe we can get your fighters on next week, Joe, and we'll get a chance to talk. Garner, why don't you give us your final thoughts for the evening? Tell everybody where they can find you on social media, and any final thoughts you have for our audience tonight.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me tonight. So our website is painboxing.com. You can also find us on Facebook, painboxing, on Instagram, and on Twitter. So we encourage you to come follow us. And then we have a separate page for the painboxing series, on all three, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as well. So hope everyone will come out and check out our show in Rock Hill on November 7th. It's going to be an action-packed night. I mean, there's guys that are ranked in the top 10 and 15 in the world that'll be on the show. And Christy Martin, you know, she always did it right as a boxer, and she always does it right as a promoter. So, you know, it's going to be a first class event. You can get tickets, Christy. You can get them at the Painboxing website and also at Eventbrite as well online. So we're excited about it.
Well, thank you so much, Garner. And sorry about the mix up, but maybe we can get your fighters on next week.
Man, that'd be great. We'd really appreciate that.
No problem. Christy, as usual, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We appreciate everything that you've done for the sport and your contributions to the sport. So why don't you give us your final thoughts for the evening and tell everybody where they can find you on social media. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on. And basically, you know, it's simple. If you can't be on the scene, be on the screen, check it out November 7th, Rock Hill, South Carolina. We're going to put on a great night of fights. As Gardner said, we have Alberto Palmetto, who's in the top 10, Lucas Leon, top 15, Kelvin King, who's an up-and-coming young fighter, Kyle Harrell, local guy that just, you know, he's just solid. He's solid. He's always going to put on a good show. He'll bring some fans. We have a Y Vietnamese kid from Rock Hill that will be on the show. We also have a very interesting amateur, he'll be making his professional debut, Elijah Seawright. I'm very excited to see this young man and what he's going to bring to the show. So it's going to be a great show from top to bottom. We actually have a female fighter on as well, Carly Holman. So it's going to be exciting. As I said, get your tickets early. We're going to have only 1,000 people that will be able to come in, and at this point, we're looking at a sellout crowd. So, don't miss this great opportunity.
Well, thank you both very much for your time, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely,
great.
Thank
you very much.
Good night.
Thanks.
Good night. That was Christy Martin and Mr. Garner Payne. We appreciate their time tonight, and we look forward to talking to both of their fighters perhaps next week, Kelvin King and Lucas Leon. So have a great night, everyone. We look forward to talking to you again next week, right here on the Dog Pound. Hopefully the champ will be back with us, and hey, have a great night. Look forward to talking to you Sunday on the Weekend Wrap. Have a great night, everyone. See you soon.